Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. Glad to see everybody. We get to start a new series today, and man, what a great time of worship to open up our service. And we had a great first service as well. Want to welcome those watching online as also. We always have several joining in to watch online, either live on Facebook or later on our website. So I'm glad you guys have found us and are joining in as well. Guess what? We're starting a new series about the next holiday coming up, and the holiday is not Christmas, okay? So for those that think it's already time to start decorating and putting trees up, Samantha, we can't skip Thanksgiving. And so we're starting a new series this morning, Thanks and Giving. Let's kind of break it down a little bit. And this morning, we're really answering the question, are you thankful? And that's where what we'll be looking at. We're entering this season where we're focused on gratitude. And I really do think there's been a change in our culture that people don't show gratitude as much as they used to. And I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy and back in my day. My kids remind me of that often. But I do think there's been a change. And I'm not sure why that is. I mean, you know, when we were growing up, we were taught you have to write thank you notes for everything. And that's kind of almost like a thing of the past now, thank you notes and gratitude. And why is that? Is it because we're too busy? Is it because we don't care? Is it because people don't have manners anymore? I don't think it's really any of those reasons. I think it goes deeper than that. I think it's because we aren't thankful because we don't realize how blessed we truly are. I just don't think we realize that we've been blessed and that our gratitude is a way of expressing our thanks for that. I think it really comes down to a problem of selfishness. We've really been conditioned and taught by our society and culture that it's all about us, that we don't have to worry about other people. And so just take care of our own problems. Don't worry about them. They'll figure it out on their own. And so it doesn't matter how other people feel or what they're going through. Just worry about yourself. And what we learn through the Bible is the Bible has a very different message for us. The Bible is very clear about showing our gratitude and thankfulness. I think this is a struggle for all of us. And so I don't stand up here this morning and saying I've got this all figured out, because I think all of us from time to time, if not most of the time, fail to live this out and fail to express thankfulness and gratitude for the blessings we have. It's interesting that today is Veterans Day, because what Veterans Day does is it focuses us to stop and to give thanks. And I just want to say I'm truly thankful for the veterans in this room, for what you sacrificed, for how you've served our country. You don't hear it often enough. And I wish we didn't have to have a holiday to remind people to thank you, because I wish you were thanked every day for your service. I truly do. But with that being said, I do want to just say, I know we probably have numerous veterans in this room. If you're a veteran here, I don't want to embarrass you, but I would like to ask you to stand real quick just so we can thank you publicly today. Do we have any veterans here? Any more? Let's give... Thank you. We really do thank you for your service. And we live, I saw somebody post this morning, we live in the land of the free because of the brave. And that's, we can be thankful that we have the freedom to worship. We have the freedom to gather in God's house because of this country we live in, because of the veterans who have served. So thank you. But it is kind of interesting that we have a holiday to force us to stop and reflect about it. And that's really what Thanksgiving is as well. Thanksgiving is a holiday to say, wait a minute, we need to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. Now the interesting thing is what, I mean, that should be a way of life for us, not just one day a year where it's about how much we can eat, because let's be honest, isn't that what Thanksgiving Day has turned into? Let's see how much turkey and stuffing we can stuff ourselves with. And then, you know, we go on. It's far beyond that. It's about being thankful for what God has done. So let me ask you this morning, are you thankful? Are you really thankful? Are you thankful no matter what? I'm telling you, like this morning when we got here, the devil's been working on me this morning. It's like, it's funny, whatever you preach on, it's like where you're attacked sometimes. And so I got here this morning and like nothing was going right this morning. We got here and I had to put a song we didn't have in. I put it in. Not only that, then the internet quit working, right? And when the children were needed to check in, so we're scrambling around trying to get the internet back up. And then I get back up here and Jennifer looks at me. She was running a computer first service and said, "Your sermon notes aren't in the computer. Like the stuff we put on the screen." I'm like, "But they were there yesterday." And they're just completely gone. I mean, I don't know where they went. I mean, I'm a computer guy, and they're gone. I mean, they were just went in that black hole of oblivion. They're gone. And so while Eugene was doing announcements first service, I'm back there typing as fast as I can, like, go longer, you know, trying to get everything in. I mean, that's the type of morning it is, right? And here's the challenge. I mean, Satan does that to get you saying, I mean, to get you frustrated, to get you flustered, bitter, angry, mad. That's why, and we've got to learn, we can be thankful. You know what I'm thankful for? When we got here, we've got a warm building to worship in, right? And let's just be honest, if we don't have screens up on Sunday morning, big deal, right? It doesn't really matter. I'm thankful that we have a building we can worship in. I'm thankful that we have a group of believers that love God and love each other, and that we can praise God, that we can learn from His Word together. I'm thankful that when we get together like this, that it's a celebration. And so it doesn't matter what Satan tries to do to discourage us. It's a matter of perspective. We can still give thanks. And so you may be here this morning, and maybe you've recently gone through a job loss or the loss of a loved one, or you've gone through some hard times or health struggles or whatever it is. You can still thank God. You can still thank God for the blessings you have. Why? Because you're still here. You're still here, and God is not done with you yet. You are still living and breathing, and you are here, and you can be thankful to God for that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "Always be joyful." How often? Always. I mean, in everything, right? "Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Be thankful in all circumstances. That means good. That means bad. That means the tough times. That means the good times. That means we can be thankful all the time. James says we count it all joy when we go through tough times. Paul said in Philippians that whatever state I find myself in, I'm content. It doesn't really matter if I have a lot or if I have a little, right? I'm okay with that. He goes on to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Why? Because he's learned that contentment is such an important part of life. And when we're not content, we don't show gratefulness, we don't show thankfulness. So what is gratitude? I've been throwing that word around a little bit. If you look in the dictionary, gratitude, the dictionary definition is the quality of being thankful, and it's the readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. And so when we talk about that, you can see there's kind of multiple parts to it. It's not just being thankful. It's showing appreciation. So there's action involved. It's returning kindness. It means you're not just thinking about yourself, that you're thinking about serving others. And so we can only be grateful when we realize how blessed we really are. And what I want to do, I want to take us to a passage in the book of Luke this morning. And it's a passage that's well known. We want to look at the account of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Now, in getting ready for this, I'm thinking, man, I preached on this before. And I started looking back at my computer through the notes, and I finally found the sermon I did. And it was before I was in full-time ministry. It was all the way back in 2004. I did a message on this very passage. And what's funny is going back and looking at an old sermon like that, just be thankful, right? You're hearing this 14 years later, because it was a little rough 14 years ago. But I'm not preaching the same sermon either, because it's interesting. It's looking back, though, it's amazing what God How can you use a passage like that to really speak into our lives and help us and teach us? And I really did remember some of the things I talked about in that message. As we turn there, let me kind of give you some background info. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17. It's where we're going to be. The background information is Jesus is traveling from the region of Galilee to the city of Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. And so if you look on a map, Galilee was to the north, Samaria was directly below it, and Jerusalem was below Samaria. Now, Samaritans, as you may know, were not well liked by the Jews. And there's a lot of reasons for this. They had ties to the Assyrians. They were kind of mixed race, so they were rejected by the Jews because of that. The Samaritans were even forced to build their own temples, so they were mad at the Jews as well. So the feelings of dislike were very mutual between the two groups. And so when you had to travel from Galilee to Jerusalem, instead of going through Samaria, which was the direct route, the Jewish people would actually take the long way. They would cross the Jordan River, go down and come back across, and they wouldn't go straight through Samaria, just simply so they didn't have to deal with the people there. It was even unlawful for a Jew to associate with a foreigner, especially a Samaritan. And so there's all these cultural, there's all these spiritual barriers between the Jews and Samaritans. But Jesus was not afraid of that. He was not afraid of breaking down racial barriers. He was not afraid of breaking down cultural barriers. He was not afraid of who he would come into contact with. And we can see even as Jesus talked with the woman at the well in Samaria, he was not even afraid to really break out of the societal norms of the time. And that kind of brings us to the passage where we're at this morning. Luke 17, I'll pick it up in verse 11. It says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. So what we see in this, we see a lot of lessons we can learn today. The word leprosy, it literally means to strike or to be smitten or to receive a blow. And the reason this word was used to describe a disease is the Hebrews believed that leprosy was God kind of striking or punishing the afflicted person. They believed it was a God-given disease and only God could cure it. And so leprosy was this really just horrible disease, and it was caused by bacteria. We even still have the disease today, although there is a cure for it. It's known as Hansen's disease, and so you could look this up. It causes problems with the nervous systems and the nerve endings in your extremities, and you would lose feeling, lose touch. And you would actually even lose body parts, right, because of this. A horrible, horrible disease. And so this passage has always interested me, and I'll share why in a minute. In biblical times, the lepers were outcast. If you developed a sore on your skin, you had to go to the priest. And the priest kind of functioned as the doctor or the health inspector of the day. And they would inspect it to see if they thought you had this disease. They would quarantine you for 7 days and check the spot again. If it was still there, you would be quarantined another 7 days, and the priest would check it again. If it hadn't improved, then you were banished out of the community, out of the city, and you were declared a leper. You were literally pulled away from your family and put into exile, away from society. Can you imagine the impact this would have on someone? If you got this disease, all of a sudden now you were pulled away from everything you knew, and now you had to kind of live on the outskirts of town. Anytime people got near you, you had to yell out by law, unclean, unclean, so that people wouldn't even come near you. Imagine the lack of physical interaction, the social interaction, physical touch. I mean, these people, it's hard to imagine what they even went through. Leprosy even affected your vocal cords, so the process of yelling, unclean, unclean, that was painful in and of itself. Now, what's interesting to me is they didn't have a real good understanding in biblical times of what caused it and what different diseases were. So not only leprosy was kind of considered, one of these things that you got banished for, but other diseases that weren't as serious, you would be considered a leper. And why I said this has always interested me is since the time of my early 20s, I've had psoriasis pretty bad. And so I've got medicine. There's medicine now that kind of keeps that under control. But psoriasis is not a contagious disease, but you get big, white, scaly spots on your skin all over. And I've struggled with that since for over 20 years. And so if I put myself in biblical times without the modern day medicine, right, here's the reality. I would be one of those outcasts. I would find myself on the outside looking in saying, unclean, unclean. And I think that's why I've always related to this passage, is because when I read this, I put myself in that position, in that spot where I see what they kind of a little bit about what they would go through as far as the isolation aspect. You can read in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. There's a very long process for kind of how the priest handled this and how they examined it and how they decided what kind of disease they had and the process that were required if you were healed, what you went through. And so the interesting thing about that is that in Leviticus 13, 14, there's all this process of what happens if you're healed, but yet in the Old Testament, we don't have any examples of people being healed of this. We don't have any natural examples. I take that back. There's a couple of examples with Moses' sister and I think Naaman. There's a couple examples in the Old Testament of leprosy being healed supernatural, but there's no natural example. So we have a whole process in the Old Testament for what happens and how you go to the priest and to be kind of declared clean again. But it didn't happen. And so when Jesus came up to these guys and healed and sent them and said, you need to go to the priest to go through this process, they've got to be thinking in their mind, this guy's crazy. This has never happened before. And as they were going, they were healed. This is what's amazing about this. I think this is just God kind of stepping up and establishing, I really am the Messiah. This is something that only God can do. And so, again, kind of looking at all this background, it really helps us understand a little bit more about what's going on. And then Jesus asked this question, where are the nine? Where are the nine? We know that Jesus really, he knew where they were. But he wanted to focus the disciples' attention on, okay, wait a minute here. These guys were just healed. You saw something supernatural, something that has no explanation. And yet, where did they go? Did they come back to thank me? Now, I don't think Jesus did this because he had this huge ego that needed to be thanked for what he had done. But I do think we can learn from this, right, that it's a question that we can all ask ourselves. Do we live a life of thankfulness? Are we thankful people? Or do we, just like the lepers, overlook the things that God has blessed us with and he's given us? I think we do this so often that we overlook little things and big things both. When God has blessed us, we don't even think twice about it, and we just keep on going about our day, and we don't come back to thank God. We don't come back to realize where our blessings came from. And that's really the point of the story to me. I think this is a lot. We've got a lot we can learn from this. Here are a few points this morning I want to share with you that we can learn from this story. Here's the first thing: is a thankful heart it always leads us closer to Jesus. A thankful heart always leads us closer to Jesus. I think when I look at this story, I realize that when we're thankful, we just naturally come back to Jesus. And we remember how he has blessed us and how he has done so much for us. You think about this. This one healed leper came back. He could have gone to his family. He could have gone and celebrated. He could have gone. There's a lot of things he could have done. But instead, he went back and what was the first thing he did? He got to Jesus and he said, "Praise Jesus. Praise you. Praise you for what you have done. You don't know what this means to me. I am so thankful." And he was yelling it. He wasn't ashamed of this. I mean, this guy came running back to Jesus and just saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And for me to see that, I mean, he put everything else on hold, and he was loud. And think about this. This guy, we don't know how many years he suffered with leprosy, but for whatever that time period was, he spent his days just yelling out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And now he's finally clean, and what's the first thing that comes out of his mouth? "Praise Jesus. Praise God. Praise you for what you have done." And so when Jesus asked him, "Where are the other nine?" He's just showing us that our gratitude, it really will always lead us back to Jesus. So when we stop, we realize how much we've been blessed. We stop and we thank Jesus for all he has done in our life. The same is true spiritually, right? And I think this is where you kind of take this a little bit deeper. The leprosy can kind of represent sin as well in our life. And when you recognize that our lives, we are sinful, there's no chance of healing, that we are separated from God, we're unclean before God and men, that only God can cleanse and heal us. It's only Jesus that can come in and provide the healing that we need, the forgiveness from our sin, the reestablishment of our relationship with God. And so that's why we thank him. We can thank God for our salvation. We can thank God for forgiving us of our sin. We can thank God for what he has done in our life. And so if you're here this morning, just stop and think if nothing else, you can thank God for what he has already done in your life, most of all for sending Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to give you a new relationship with Jesus. And eternal life with the Father. You think about this. I mean, this is huge, right? This is what we learn. A thankful heart, it just leads us closer to Jesus. It just reminds us consistently what Jesus has done for us. And so when was the last time you really thanked God? When was the last time that your gratitude brought you closer to Jesus? Here's the second thing we learn from this. Is that our thankfulness, make sure our thankfulness leads us to action. Now, this leper, he could have said, "Oh man, Jesus was a great guy. I'm so thankful for what he did," and just leave it at that. But he didn't. He actually acted upon his thankfulness. And again, I think this is where we fall into trouble sometimes. We just give lip service to thankfulness. "I'm just thankful for that. I'm thankful for this. Hey, if I post it on Facebook, isn't that enough?" Right? That's how we kind of do our gratitude. Let me just say something. Let me just post something. But I would challenge you a little bit. Are you really thankful if your thankfulness does not lead you to do something about it? Now, we see this leper, he actually came back to Jesus. And I don't know why he did that. I don't know what motivated him. I don't know if he was raised by parents who taught him the meaning of gratitude. I don't know if he just realized how different his life would be now. I don't know why he did, but he did. And there's the lesson. Out of 10 people, 9 didn't do anything, and 1 did. And so I think the same is true today. I think for many of us, are we in the 90% or the 10%? You develop gratitude by simply putting your thankfulness into action. And you do this on a daily basis, right? And so when something good happens, you follow it up. You know, we show our gratitude, we show our thankfulness by how we act. And that's why a little thing is a thank you note. It is important. Why? Because it shows we did something about it. That's why going to the hospital and visiting somebody, that's putting, you know, our gratitude for, you know, our love for them into action. That's why when someone does something for you, that you actually take time to do something, you know, to express your gratitude to them, to talk to them, to put it into action. This is why it's important. And so what kind of action is Jesus looking for from you? What is it? How can you show your gratitude and your thankfulness to others? Is there a family or a friend or a stranger in need of help this Thanksgiving season? Is there something that you can do? My best advice, looking at what Jesus did, is to take that step of action and to put your thankfulness into action. And we can do this spiritually too, right? When we realize what we have been blessed with, we realize what Jesus has done, our action, our thankfulness, our gratitude, the way we demonstrate that is by worshiping God and by serving God. So when our worship is a response to what Jesus has already done in our life. So when we come in this place, and I know we've got good music, and I know we've got an awesome praise team, but I'm amazed that some people just come into church and just like, and just are miserable to be here sometimes, right? Our worship, it's not about how good the music is. It's about how good our God is. So you can worship. I don't care if we got one person play a piano, if we've got a recording on the screen, whatever. You can worship because it's not dependent upon their performance. It's dependent upon what God has done in your life. And your worship is simply your way to respond, your way to put your thankfulness into action. And so the way we worship Him, and that goes beyond just Sunday morning too. That goes beyond the way we live our life. But it's also how we serve God. When we serve God, in effect, what we're doing is we're saying we thank God so much that we want to demonstrate our love for God and how we serve others. So we love God, we love others. That's a response. That's putting our thankfulness into action. And so, when we go into Thanksgiving, it's not about the Thanksgiving turkey. It's not about how much we can eat. It's about how can we serve? How can we worship through that? So that really reframes what Thanksgiving is about when we view it in that way. Here's the third thing. And this kind of is, all three of these are really, if you I kind of got myself in trouble. All three of these are saying the exact same thing in all honesty. But ungratefulness always leads us away from God's presence. If thankfulness leads us into God's presence or leads us closer to Jesus, then ungratefulness, it leads us away. And this is a trap we find ourselves in when we start complaining, we start criticizing, we start being unhappy and looking for the problems and everything. I can guarantee you cannot stay close to God and while you're criticizing everybody else and everything else. And so if you find yourself constantly frustrated, bitter, complaining, criticizing, I'm telling you, this is an issue. What you're saying is, I'm not really close to God right now. So when I'm around someone that spends all their time complaining and criticizing, I automatically know that they're not as close to God as they need to be. Because when we get close to Jesus, the closer we are to Jesus, the more thankful we are for what He has done in our life. And so, again, I'm challenging you here a little bit. I'm just challenging you. Are you seeing God in the little things? Are you seeing God, or are you trying to just get frustrated and bitter? Nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than ungratefulness. When we constantly think, that we've earned it, we deserve it, and we're mad because we don't get what we want, it's a lack of contentment, it's a lack of thankfulness, it's a lack of gratefulness. And so we wake up in the morning and sometimes we'll grumble because all we've got to eat is cereal in the house. If you've got kids, right, they complain, there's nothing in the refrigerator. There's nothing in the fridge. We don't have any food in the house. I'm like, we've got enough food in our pantry to feed a village for a week, right? And most people in this room do. You've got enough food in your house to feed a small village for a long time, and yet we're complaining because we don't have the right flavor Pop-Tarts. Y'all can relate, right? I mean, we grumble about things like that. Then we'll complain about our jobs, and you don't believe the people I've got to work with, and they're just a bunch of idiots. It's easy to find ourselves into that trap where we just complain, and we don't realize how blessed we are, that we're blessed to have a job, that there's a whole lot of people that want a job that don't have a job, or people that want to work but can't work because of their health. We don't realize there's a lot of people that would just be thankful to have anything to eat because they're going to bed hungry tonight. I'm just telling you, it's a matter of perspective that we forget how really blessed we truly are. And I don't care if you're a believer or even if you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you this, God has blessed you more than you have deserved and more than you realize. And so when we realize, man, what God has done in our life, it really changes us. Here's what you also need to know is ingratitude, it is a sin. Now, we'll talk about lying and jealousy and stealing and all that other, and sexual immorality, all those things. Those are sins. Do you realize not being thankful is a sin? Being ungrateful, it's a sin. It's interesting when you read Romans chapter 1, and it talks about how culture kind of went into a lot of sexual immorality and a lot of sin. But in Romans 1, verse 21, it says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like, and as a result, their minds became dark and confused. So in this whole passage, it's talking about sexual immorality. It's talking about all the sin of the culture of the day. He goes back and says, here's the problem. They didn't worship God, and they didn't thank God. That's scary to me. That's scary because it shows that when we refuse to thank God, it leads us, it naturally flows into sinful behavior. And when we refuse to think who God is, we get ourselves into trouble. An ungrateful heart is a heart that's cold towards God. It's a heart that doesn't care about God's mercy and God's love. It's a heart that's forgotten how we're dependent upon God for everything. From one end of the Bible to the other, we're told that we need to thank God. We see it all throughout the Psalms. To sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. We see Paul talking about being thankful. We see this just throughout Scripture over and over again, to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. And let me wrap this up. What's our response then? Your response. Are you a person who takes or a person who thanks? Now, in my original notes, I had, are you a taker or a thanker? And Jennifer didn't like that. She said that sounded too hick. So I made it. Instead of saying thanker, is that even a word? A person who takes or a person who thanks. Doesn't that sound much more, yeah, much more esteemed? Y'all can laugh because y'all hick too, okay? I mean, yeah, y'all, we're all in the same boat here. I want you to think about the nine lepers who didn't return. They didn't have any interest in Jesus anymore. Why? Because they got from Jesus what they needed. They didn't really care about Jesus. They just wanted to see what they could get from Him, what they could take from Him. And so they had no desire to worship Him, no desire to thank Him, no desire to glorify Him. They didn't really see Him as God. They didn't fall down and worship Him. We see this with the Jewish people throughout Scripture, where they didn't really recognize who Jesus was, but they wanted His healing. They wanted the miracles. They wanted all the good stuff that came from Jesus, but they didn't want Jesus. And I'm afraid that describes a whole lot of people in our culture today. They want the good stuff, but they don't want Jesus. They want to see what the church can give me or what I can take from the church, but I don't want any of that Jesus stuff. I'll just sit back. I want to observe. I want to kind of go through the motions, but don't expect me to serve. Don't expect me to worship. Don't expect me to give. Don't expect me to do anything. Why? Because I'm just here to see what I can get out of this. And so my question then, are you a person who takes? Because that's what the nine lepers represent. They represent taking. Oh, I don't need Jesus. I'm perfectly fine on my own. Give us healing, give us food, deliver us from demons, do miracles, but don't expect worship. Don't expect my praise, don't expect my worship, don't expect my thanks. But the one guy who was even a Samaritan, who was even the one that wasn't supposed to have anything to do with Jesus, who they were mad at Jesus because they didn't even worship together. They were excluded. They were pushed out by the Jews. And now he's the one that comes back, and he's the one that says, praise God. He's the one that gives thanks. He's the one that expresses gratitude. I think why the nine didn't return, part of it is they weren't looking for a Messiah. At least they weren't looking for a Savior from their sin. They were looking for somebody that would come in and rescue them. They were looking for a political Messiah. They were looking for someone that would fix all their problems and someone they could get behind and follow. And they saw this Jesus and, hey, he healed me, but hey, okay, now let's... They weren't looking for what Jesus truly was, their Savior from their sin and their depravity. That's not what they were looking for. And I'm afraid that so many people in our culture today are looking for a quick fix for their problems and not looking for a Savior. And so, let's just be honest. We see this, right? As we serve our community, there are times when we serve and it feels like people are just taking. But what we see in this passage is that nine took and one gave thanks. And we still do it anyway? Because we don't do it, we're not doing it to get their thanks. We're doing it because we love Jesus and we're thanking him for what he has done in our life. And that's the difference. So are you a person who takes or a person who thanks? I think that's a question for all of us. Only a few came and fell and worshiped at his feet. But if you're a taker, how do you just realize what Jesus has done for you? And so takers are constantly preoccupied with what they don't have, what they need, what they want. And so they don't take time to go back and think because they're thinking about what they need next. It's interesting in verse 19 of Luke 17. He says in verse 19, go to the next slide, yeah. Stand up and go, your faith has healed you. That word healed there, in some versions it said made you well. And it's kind of a different word that's used a few times throughout the New Testament. And it's a word that in their culture is actually used when a baby was delivered. That was the word that was used, right? It's delivered, it's safety. It was also used people who escaped dangerous situations. So like when a sailor survived a storm at sea, they used this word, that they were saved. When Matthew began his gospel and told the Christmas story, he said that the child would be named Jesus because that name meant he would save the people from their sins. That word save, that's the same word that your faith has saved you, has healed you, has made you well. It goes beyond this rescue from danger. And so when Paul even talks about in Romans chapter 10, what happens when we confess I think Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that word again. And for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's the word again. That's the same word that he told this one leper that came back. And so this leper that came back, he didn't just receive physical healing, he received spiritual healing. And that's the type of healing that Jesus offers. That's the type of healing we need. And if I could take one message from this whole passage, it's this. It's that nothing we have done, nothing we have gone through, there is nothing in our life that Jesus can't touch and make clean and make whole again. So I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you think you need to go around telling unclean, unclean, because you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've seen. You don't know the sin in my life. Here's what Jesus is telling you this morning. You can be made whole again. You can be made well. You can be healed. You can be saved. That's what that word means. And the same thing that happened to that leper can happen to you this morning. Your sin can be washed away, can be made clean. You can be made new again. You can be given a new heart and a new life in Jesus. And I just want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you this morning in so many ways. It's funny how sometimes it's interesting how we just take the life's blessings for granted. It's funny. Have you ever noticed if you give a child a gift, you give them one little thing, they'll like play with it and treasure it and think, oh man, this is so great. But what happens when you give them two things at a time? They want a third. Have you ever noticed that? Well, I want something else. We do the same thing. It's like sometimes we'll recognize the blessing, but then we'll get another blessing. And then it's like all of a sudden we start feeling entitled or we expect to receive. I want to just challenge you. Will you just be thankful for what you have, for what God has done? We're kind of going to continue this next week and kind of go into that a little more. Colossians 3:15 says this. It says, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace, and always be thankful." And always be thankful. I'm telling you, thankfulness leads to action. And so I want to challenge you and kind of a couple things to do this week. And I want you to think about this. Here's a couple things I want to challenge you to do as we go through this series. One is start writing down what you're thankful for. Kind of keep a gratitude journal. Figure out what. Just start writing, making notes of this, and you're going to be amazed at how much you've got to be thankful about when you actually start putting it on paper. Start writing it down. Some of you ladies have done Ann Voskamp study, that 1,000 gifts. That made me think of that this week. But it's really neat just to really stop and think about what you're thankful for. Here's the second thing I want to challenge you to do. Try to every day at least try to express thanks and gratitude to someone. You've got someone to thank to express gratitude every single day. Here's the third thing, and this is... You thought I've been easy on you up until this point. Try to go through 1 week without complaining, without criticizing, or without gossiping. Can you do it? That's tough. You can't, but here's the reality. You can't be thankful and criticize at the same time. You can't be grateful and be condemning others. So go through a week without criticizing, complaining, or gossiping. If you can do those things, hey, you'll be in perfect shape to come back next week, and let's kind of continue this series, and we'll see what we learn. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. Y'all come back up. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close with our time of response. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful to be here today. We have so much to be thankful for. You have blessed us in so many ways, and ways we don't even realize or understand. You've blessed us with a church. You've blessed us with a body of believers that we can call Cornerstone here. You've blessed us, Lord, with our salvation. For those who have put their faith and their trust in Jesus, we are thankful because we get to spend all of eternity with you. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come here today, may our worship be a response, and may it be just an expression of our gratitude and thankfulness back to you. Lord, I also pray for those in this room who are struggling, who are going through tough times. I know that even in their tough times, sometimes it's hard to see what we can be joyful and thankful about, but help us just to gain perspective and look at how big you are instead of how big our problem is. And finally, Lord, I pray for those in this room who don't know you as their Savior. Would today be that day that they make a commitment, that they put their faith and their trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save them? As we read in Romans 10, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts, God, that you truly did raise him from the dead, then we will be saved. That's the promise you've given us in Scripture, that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so Lord, we're just thankful for that. We're thankful that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to make a way for us to have a relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.